we just thank you for lunch. That was yummy. Thank you for inventing eating. And Lord, we're just asking that now, as we partake of your word, that it would be food, that it would meet our needs, that it would open our eyes, that, Lord, it would take root inside of us. We want your word to take root inside of us. Thank you, Jesus. It's you we need. Thank you for what you're doing here. We bless you, Father. We bless you. We release you. We come in agreement. And we just want more. We're hungry little birds. We want more. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Do me a favor and open your Bible up to Matthew 16. The title of this is On This Rock. On This Rock. Matthew 16, verses 13 to 20. Matthew 16, 13 to 20. Somebody have that? Cecil, do you have that? 13 to 20. Matthew 16, 13 to 20. Okay, babe. Caesarea Philippi.
They said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven.
Verse 20.
Oh. And I say unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock will I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ.
Matthew 16, 13 to 20. On this rock. One of the Bible principles when you are studying the Bible is to see what is repeated. One of the things when you're reading the Bible and you want to understand what the Bible is talking about, I mean, there's a number of different things, and as time goes on and we have fellowship, we'll share different ideas with you. Maybe you'll share things with us that we don't know, and that's fine. But like my wife and I, God has had us read the Bible a lot, like over 75 times from cover to cover. And memorize thousands of verses. And the reason for that is to get the word inside of us. As I told you earlier, when I came to know God, I had experienced religion, but it hadn't done me any good until I met Jesus. And it had nothing to do with religion when I met Jesus. The way I met him was I was reading the Bible the night before as a drug dealer, smoking a joint, reading the Bible. And I was reading the red print, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, in the first four books of the New Testament. I read all four books that night. Tried doing that. Okay? I've always been an extremist. And when I started reading, I lit up a joint, started smoking a joint, and God walked in the room. I did not see him. I sensed his presence. And I put the joint out, and I read all four Gospels that night. And as I read them, I saw that everybody that came to Jesus, their life was never the same. I kept saying out loud, how do I get to your Jesus? See, I was sincere as I could be. I was just sincerely on my way to hell without Jesus, okay? But I had done everything churches had told me how to do. Are you getting this? What they call churches. To be honest, during that time I remember, because I said to God at one point, I said, God, I've done everything churches have told me how to do. But there's something missing. I said, maybe you don't have anything to do with church. Now, that came out of an unsaved guy. Because, see, I'd done everything they told me, and it hadn't helped me. Because just because you put a label on a can don't mean that's what is in the contents. You follow me? And just because they put a sign out there and call it a church doesn't mean that it is one. Not according to Jesus. And by the way, church is peculiar to Jesus. There's nothing else. in the world that is church. Jesus started church. You can have all kinds of organizations, all kinds of clubs, but Jesus is church, okay? He started that. Whenever you're, one of the things, one of the Bible principles, when you're reading Scripture, is if you see something repeated, a word, a phrase, a thought, and it's repeated several times, you need to stop and pay attention, because God isn't repeating Himself because, you know, He's handicapped. He's doing it because we're slow learners, okay? And we learn best by repetition. We need to hear stuff over and over and over again. And then again, and then again, and then be reminded. Even after we get it, we need to be reminded. You know how we forget things? Oh, I knew that. Right? Okay. So I want you to notice in verse 13 that Jesus, and Jesus is an instigator. Okay. One day I was crying and saying, Lord, Why do I get in so much trouble? I try to blend in churches. I try to get along. I try not to cause trouble. And He said, because I made you like me. I said, no, you're the neatest person I've ever met. I said, why am I a troublemaker? He said, because you're like me. I said, I don't understand. He said, didn't you ever read the first four words in Genesis? In the beginning, God. He said, see, I start everything. You're just like me. You're an instigator. You start things. He said, I put you in places to interrupt what's going on. He said, I even gave you a big nose so you'd stick at other people's business. There's a verse in the Bible. It says, provoke one another to love and good works. God told me, call me to be a holy provoker. Okay? I don't just say things that you want to hear. I don't speak smooth stuff. I say stuff that's going to irritate you, mess with you. Going to be like gravel in your little oyster shell, but you're going to end up with a pearl, okay? But you ain't going to necessarily like the journey necessarily, okay? How would you like to have that calling? Oh, that would be just wonderful. I could be, you know, just an irritant to people, you know? Well, I resemble that, okay? So, thank you, Bill. Okay. So, all right, thanks, Adam. And so Jesus says in verse 13, Jesus, they're walking along, and He just says to His disciples, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Now, look at verse 15. Jesus said, but who do you say that I am? And then notice in verse 16, when He said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, verse 17, He goes on to say, you're blessed, Simon, because Almighty God, for our brother Yahweh, revealed me to you. Three times, and actually four, He's bringing to our attention, who is Jesus? On this rock, He says, over in verse, I want to say, 18. In verse 18, all of a sudden my brain went, on this rock, He didn't say, will I build my church? He said, I will build my church. On this rock. What is the rock? What is this massive foundation on which Jesus will construct or put together His church? The foundational truth of who Jesus is. Who He really is. You see, many people believe many things about Jesus. Back when God led me to quit leading people in a prayer, and let me tell you why you can't just lead people in a prayer. Number one, a prayer didn't die for them on the cross, so it's not just a prayer. But two, because what I would do, okay, I'm a natural born salesman. I have a gift of persuasion, okay? Any company I've gone to as a salesman, almost any company I've gone to, I've beat their lifelong record, whatever the company's record was, because I said, what is the most anybody's ever sold? And when they told me, I aimed higher than that. Okay? And I asked God, and He gave it to me, and I was able to beat their sales records. Because I'm a natural born doing that. Well, I go to lead people to the Lord, and so what I would do is I'd take the Bible, and I just start giving you verses. Romans 3:10, as is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. Verse 23, for all have sinned to come short of the glory of God. Chapter 6, verse 23, For the wages of sin is death. Chapter 5, verse 8. But God commendeth, showed his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. 6:23b. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Chapter 10, verses 9 through 13. You see what I'm saying? I could just do that and take you through, and all the way through you're going, You know, doing a little Chinese bobblehead you see in the back of people's cars, you know? Okay? And I could take them through the scripture, and I could show them that. I'd say, do you understand that you deserve to go to hell? Well, no, I don't deserve that. You know, I don't believe that. Really? Okay. Then I'd take them over to Revelation chapter 21, verse 8. But the fearful and unbelieving, abominable, murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters. Are you any of those? Oh, I'm none of those. I said, well, the next three words are going to catch you. Because it's a catch-all phrase. And it says, and all liars. Have you ever lied? Yeah. I said, well, how many times do you have to steal to be a thief? Once. How many times do you have to lie to be a liar? Once. And all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. See? Don't somebody turn it with a boogeyman. That'll sell no ice water. Oh, what do I got to do? Pray this little prayer. Oh, Jesus, come in my heart. Now I'm going to heaven. For whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Oh, so now you're going to heaven because you did that. Wrong. Just because you gave them all these words, just because you took them to the scripture, just because they sat there and did this, just because they said they understand, did they understand? When God laid on my heart, actually forced me into it, I guess, to quit leading people in a prayer because I'd already done this with thousands of people. And he said, Harv, you know how a lot of times when you do this, you can't find them with the FBI? You go back and you know somebody's in the house because the curtains are moving, but they won't answer the door. They're afraid of you. Because you can take them to the Word and they can't argue. And they know it and they realize it, but nothing happened. They did what you told them and nothing happened. Are you listening? I hope you're hearing in the Spirit. Because it has to be revealed by God. It's called being born of the Holy Spirit. Now that little hot dog, he got born of the flesh. He's alive to the flesh, but he's not alive to the Spirit. Do you understand? We have to be born of the Spirit into the family of God. How does that happen? Many people believe many things about Jesus. When God first led me to quit leading people in a prayer, he said this. He said, Harvey, he sent me to a lady, a couple actually. I started dealing with a couple. It seemed like the man was already saved. And I started dealing with them. And I asked the lady, I started taking her through Romans Road. So I go through Romans Road, go through all the verses, and I get to the end, Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, that's where I always had gotten, and I would lead them in a prayer. And then God said, you can't do that. So I got there and I went, okay, what do I do, Lord? And he said, ask her if she understands what you just said. And I said, do you understand what I just showed you in the Bible? What do you think her answer was? Because she did the same thing all the rest of you do. And that's what people do that are in church. They're hearers of the word, but they're not doers. Why are you here and not all the people that you know that say they love God? Or wherever you go to church or have gone to church. Why is there all these people that they're there, but what they talk about is football and hunting and cooking and washing and, I mean, you know, you start talking about God, they just, but you talk about anything else, you know. Why? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. You can't help but talk about what you're full of. If they had just won $1 million, do you think that they would be like talking about football and laundry? And no, they would be excited about that. When my wife and I won $5,000 from Publishers Clearinghouse or whatever it was, I made a copy of the check and I went around telling everybody about it, because it was a treasure that we got. Do you understand? It was something we wanted to share with everybody. I didn't want to share it so much to give them the money, but I wanted to share that we had won. Do you understand? Do you understand? So Jesus first starts off by saying, who do others say that I am? Who is Jesus? Who is He to you? Who is He to those that you lead or teach? Who is He to those in your life? Who is He to the world? Who do they think He is? So I went to witness to this lady, take her through Romans Road, get to the inn, and I said, do you understand what I just showed you? She goes, just like everybody does. And I said, okay, now what do I say, Lord? I couldn't do formula anymore, Bill. I had to start depending on God and do this thing called relationship and ask God all the way through, question by question. And that's something. He's already teaching me back then before I even understood it was called Relationship Church. Just hit me. So I said, okay, Lord, I asked her, and she said like that. And he said, I said, what do I say to her now? He said, ask her what she understands. I said, ask her what she, I said, well, what do you understand? And she just went, I could have reached out and gone, blah, 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 because she was just going, you see, some of y'all, this is a little parenthetical thought here, a little break in the story. Some of y'all get intimidated by me. Some of y'all get uncomfortable by me because I ask you questions. I put you on the spot. I take you further that I color outside your comfort zone. But when you, there's a reason I ask stuff. I asked his wife. I asked him. This guy ended up meeting Jesus, and he hadn't been in church in 41 years because his dad had died when he was around 10 to 13 years old, and he was mad at God. He was mad at his dad. He doesn't understand. And whenever Christians tried to come around who represented God, he couldn't handle it. Okay? So one day he chips a tub, and he looks in the phone book, and there's my name jumps out at him, and he called me. So I go and fix the tub, and when I was done fixing the tub, now, see, I understand that I'm a secret agent for Jesus. God just uses tubs to get me in your life, okay? So I got in his life, you know, fixed the tub, and then I start talking about Jesus. And he was like, you know, I liked you until you started meddling, you know? Here's what I'm saying to you, is we sometimes have to have things put to us, questions, ideas. You're welcome. Come on in. Have a seat. God bless you. Well, thank you. I'll just receive that like a sponge. I've been Harvey my whole life. I've even gotten used to it. Praise the Lord. Just forgive me wherever it's needed, okay? Thank you, Jesus. He already has. All right. So my thought to you is that I asked her, do you understand? Yes. I said, what do you understand? And she just stared at me. You know? And I said, okay, Lord. Because we sat there for a couple of minutes, and she's not talking. It's real uncomfortable to sit there, you know, and nobody's talking, you know, and we're all just looking at each other. So I'm waiting, so I said, Lord, what do I ask her next? He said, ask her what she understands. You want to write these three down. Ask her what she understands about herself, her sin, and the Savior. Ask her what she understands. Many people, everybody has an opinion about Jesus. Every single person has an opinion about Jesus. Ask people, who is He? People will think and tell you all kinds of things that are not true according to God's Word. When folks say they believe in Jesus, what do they really believe? In James chapter 2, verse 19, this is a very key scripture to me. It says, thou believest that there is one God, the devils also believe and tremble. A lot of people believe in Jesus. The devils believing in Jesus. Are they going to be in heaven? I'm sorry, I can't hear you.
No.
I got that part. Thank you. Thank you, sir. No problem. I'm asking because the devils do believe in Jesus. Remember when Jesus would come up to people that were demon-possessed in the Gospels and they would fall down before him and cry out, "What have we to do with thee, Jesus, the Son of the Most High God?" And what did Jesus do? Thanks for introducing me. Or did he say, he commanded them to be quiet. He doesn't want devils proclaiming him because they're going to pervert it and it's done in the wrong spirit. They knew who he was. Do we know who Jesus is? Who do you think he is? See, I could ask, and different ones of you could give me different ideas. If you've got a Thompson chain, there's a place in the back I'll show you where it talks about the names and the titles of Jesus. And dude, every one in the scripture, and I mean, it's a whole page, and it's incredible. I would challenge you to do a word study. As a matter of fact, I'm going to challenge all the way through this to do a word study. And one of them is the word, well, look up the word church, for example. I think it's in the Bible 116 times, ecclesia, and it's translated church 113 of those times. Three times it's translated assembly. Okay? I want you to look that up because it'll give you a good idea of what church is. Look up the word apostle. Look up the word, in this case, look up the word Jesus or Christ. And do a word study and find out what does the scripture say about Jesus? What does the scripture say about Jesus? Who is he? You see, we meet him as the Savior. But did you know he's the Creator? You find that in the book of Colossians. Did you know he is the mighty God? Did you know he is the everlasting Father? You'll find that in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. I mean, do you know who Jesus is? Because everything about him, if you only know him as Savior, you don't know him yet as your friend, as your lover, as your provider. You don't know him many ways that I know him. Do you understand? And he wants to reveal himself to you. You see, I met Jesus July 1st, 1976, on a Thursday, 7:55 p.m. I met Jesus in 1983, in the summer, I think it was August of 1983, I met the Holy Spirit. Must not have been August. It must have been maybe September, October. Because as soon as I met him, I was so blown away by his presence. See, I met him like a Baptist could meet him. I didn't meet him with tongues, gifts, manifestations, or miracles. I met him as a person. The person of the Holy Spirit. And I immediately went to my best friend on earth and got her and drug her out of class. She was a Christian school teacher. She said, "But I'm teaching." I said, "You got to meet somebody." So I took her in the room. She said, Where are they?" I said, "I'm getting ready to teach." And she met the Holy Spirit. That was 1983. And then in 1995, God began to reveal himself to us as God the Father. Every time I met him, it was like when you got saved originally, I didn't know it could get better. But it was getting to know the same God, just more of him, understanding him, knowing him. Knowing him. When you talk to people, everybody has an idea of who Jesus is. A lot of people think Jesus has something to do with what they call church. And so he's boring. And they don't want anything to do with it because it's just rules and you got to dress a certain way and sit still. That's not my Jesus. He made me in his image. So number one, I know he's a jabberjaws. Number two, I know he's active. He moves. Okay? I know Jesus differently than a lot of people know Jesus. But I've met him in ways that you know him because I wanted to know him more. And I've asked him to reveal himself. And as I was able to handle it, he's taken me to those places. People believe many things about Jesus, things that are not true according to the Word, God's Word. When folks say they believe in Jesus, what do they really believe? I asked that lady, so what do you believe about yourself? Well, I'm here. She didn't know what to say. What do you believe about your sin? Oh, well, I've got some. Well, what do you believe about Jesus? Well, I believe he's a good man. Was he a good man? Or is there more to him? Well, but he is a good man. But that's all she knew. And I'm like, Lord, I don't know what else to do. You told me I can't lead her in a prayer, which I've done with thousands of people. Now, how do I do this? How do I get this lady to you? He said, Harv, how does faith come? Y'all are in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, right? Where it says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. He said, open up and start in another place. So maybe I'd gone through Romans Road the first time. Maybe this time I went through Hebrews Highway. And I just started going through the book of Hebrews and showing her verses about herself, her sin, and the Savior. And then when I got done, I said, what do you understand? And she understood a little bit more. And then I go, so what do you think you need to do to go to heaven? Well, I need to start going to church. I've never gone to church before. She had never gone to church in her life. So I guess I need to start going to church. I probably need to start reading my Bible. Are those good things to do? Will they get you to heaven? But that's what she thought she needed to do. Are you with me? What do I do next? He said, take her into the Word again. So maybe now we went to John's journey. Okay, it went over into the book of John. Took her through a journey through the book of John. And I'm giving her more and more of who God is. While I'm talking to her, don't miss this. While I'm talking to her, all of a sudden, bing! Lights went on. I get it! Jesus is on, it's Jesus and he's God and he died for me! Lights went on. She was born again. When those little babies come out and that doctor wants to help them get started, first thing that little kid does is start making noise. When they get saved, they start making noise. I mean, they may make it different. Everybody's not going to be exactly the same. But the lights, when they come on, you're going to know it. And he told me back then, he said, quit telling people they're saved because they did a little formula that you were taught. He said, when they're saved, they'll tell you. Glenn is riding around with me, okay? Sorry. Glenn hires me. I come into his life. I fix a tub for him. And then he went to, he hired me several times for several years. And every time we get together, I talk to him about Jesus, which irritated him. And I didn't care. And then one day, after we had known each other for several years, he called me and he said, would you be willing to hire me? He was in a home improvement business and a construction trade. And he goes, as I'm getting older, everything's getting heavier. Would you be willing to hire me? He said, you always have a lot of work and da-da-da-da-da. And would you hire me? And I thought, this is that guy that I witnessed to who's not saved. And I said, well, let me pray. So I prayed and said, God, do you want me to hire him? And God says, yes, I do. So I hire him. As soon as I hired him, God said, now, you cannot talk to him about me. I said, what am I supposed to do? Wear duct tape? That's all I talk about is you. You know? He said, no, Harv, you can talk about me to everybody else on the phone. But you can't talk to Glenn face to face because he can't handle it. But you talk to other people while he's riding around with you in the truck. And he's going to hear. But you can't say anything to him because he's got a big wall up. So I'm like, okay, Lord. So we ride around in the truck. So everybody, I pray for all my customers. I witness it to people all the time. I mean, everywhere we go, I'm praying for people and whatever. He's riding around me. One day, in the Spirit, I said these words. A church is a hospital for sinners. When I said those words, later, about a month later, he told me, when I said those words, in the Spirit, a great big wall, like the wall of China, came crashing down between him and God.
Amen.
All of a sudden, he could hear. He wasn't saved yet. He could only hear now. Boy, I hope you're getting this. He could only hear now. I've given enough scripture in front of this dude to save all of you. But he couldn't hear any of it until that day. The big wall came crashing down. And now, a month later, he said, we were talking and he goes, you know, that day you led me to the Lord. And I said, day I led you to the Lord? I said, when did I lead you, Lord? He said, you know, when we were riding around. I'm like, okay, my memory may not be real good. I said, but I still got one and I can't remember that. And you know what God told me? Harvey, he got saved in your presence while I was speaking through you, and you weren't even aware of it. You didn't lead him in a prayer. You didn't get him to come join your little glee club, sign the list or something. Because faith cometh by hearing the word of God. People think many things about Jesus, but what do they really believe? I dare you to ask them. I dare you to ask the people that you lead. We see, we assume, because we've been telling them, and they follow us, that, of course, they believe, yeah, really. Well, why is it that they don't seem to ever have firm foundation? Why is it they seem to fall away? Why is it they're only strong when you're around? Why is it, where's the real, the power, the life? Where's the victory? Where? They don't know Jesus yet. I'm sorry. I hope I don't hurt you. But they're your follower. They're not Jesus' disciple. They're your follower. A preacher gets picked up at the airport and the man's taking me. He said, you know, I used to lead a church in this town. And he goes, yeah. He goes, yeah, I brought lots of people to Jesus. And the guy goes, yeah, we know because, you know, I know a bunch of them, you know, and they talk about you and whatever. He's driving down the road and he says, I know that guy who's laying in the gutter over there as a drunk. And he says, you do? He says, yeah. He's one of my converts. And the driver said, he's one of your converts? And he goes, yeah, the Lord didn't save him. He was just somebody that I converted. You see, we all do that. We're used to this microwave world where we think it's like push a button and everything's done. God is never in a hurry. Did it take God 6 days to make the world? Yeah, right? I mean, isn't that what the Bible says? Now, you would think, him being God, he could have done it in one day, maybe an hour. So why did he take 6 days? He says he's not in a hurry. And everything he did, he said, it is good. Jesus is doing a good work. He's doing a good work in you and me. And he's not about microwaves. I'm sorry, but when my wife cooks the food in the microwave, it's okay, it's warm. But when she spends time, there's times she cooks that food, and who's ever with me, I mean, I've heard myself saying it lately because she's doing it more and more. And I'll say, my wife is loving me through this meal. Because her love, I can taste it. It's there. She's loving me. Stick it in the microwave. Dude, I could get that at Mickey D's. You know? Eat cardboard, you know? I could do that. That's what we do with God. That's what we're doing with one that God is wanting to become His bride. And we're just trying to package them like they're McDonald's. Who do they really believe Jesus is? How does that belief affect their lives? Can I give you a verse? I'm going to anyway. Just go ahead and say yes. 2 Corinthians 5, 17 and 18. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And verse 18, most people don't get, and all things are of God. Because God does the work, not us. If you're in a works church, a performance church, a church thinks they could lose their salvation, what they're doing is they're basing their salvation on what they do, not what Jesus did. See, what Jesus did never changes. That's why He can offer eternal life. He didn't offer temporary life until we sin again. Didn't say you need to get born again, 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 again. It said you're born of the flesh, and then you need to become born of the Spirit. Do you understand? Your birth, you become alive to the Spirit. You're now part of His bride. But the Bible does say there, therefore, if. It's the biggest word in life. If. If any man be in Christ. Do you believe that chair could hold me up? Two of you do. Do you believe that chair could hold me up? Is that chair holding me up? You see, I could believe in Jesus. It's not the same as believing on Jesus. When did that person that you're dealing with come to depend on Jesus? When did they realize that they were condemned and guilty in the court of God, standing there naked with no excuse and no hope, and realize Jesus and His blood is my only hope? When? See, people say, oh, I don't know the time and the hour and the date and the minute like you do. I'm not saying you have to. But I say to people, because when I came to Grand Rapids, there's all these Reformed people. And they're what's called, what's that guy's, they're a Calvinist theology. Okay? Presbyterians are like that too. And I'd run into them before, but I'd never run into a nest of them like I did when I came here. And I'm like, Lord, I start asking them all, oh, well, I've always been saved. I was brought up in the church. I've never known anything but church, blah, 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 blah. They believe in covenant theology. If the dad's saved, the mom's saved, they make a covenant. Now the child will get saved, like as if God has grandchildren. Okay? I can't find that. But anyway, here we go. So I said, Lord, because I met some of them, and I couldn't find Christ in them with the magnifying glasses. I don't think this one's saved at all. He said, they ain't, you know. He said, but they're a member of one of those things they call a church. I said, well, but Jesus, I met other ones, and I said, man, they're really like born again. My spirit bears witness. I know, and I'm not trying to judge them. I'm asking God, and He's telling me, yes, they are. And I said, well, Lord, what can I do to help these people to understand? He said, ask them to take you back to the time, God bless you, or to take you back to the place where they met Jesus. You're welcome, Adam. Ask God to take you back to the time or the place when you realized Jesus Christ, God Himself, was on the cross for you, and you were on your way to hell. And there was nothing you could do about it. Nothing you could do to save yourself. Ask them that question. I don't say these questions to hurt people or to make them feel uncomfortable or you got to do it Harvey's way. It's not my way. Jesus is right in the Scripture. Let's get back to this. What do they really believe about Jesus? How does that belief affect their lives? They say they believe in Jesus, but where is He in their lives? Do they believe what the Scriptures teach? How do we know what they believe? Because we told them? That doesn't mean they got it. Do you understand there's a process in learning something or owning something? There's three levels of learning. Are you with me? We're going to write these down. First one is head learning. Somebody speaks and you hear it. Maybe. Okay, the reason I say maybe is because at least we're exposed to a thought. But here's something that happens when we're exposed to a thought. We say this, is it true? Does it fit what I believe, what I've been taught? And the third thing, do I like what they said, how they said it, or even do I like the person saying it? That's what we do when we hear stuff. That's what we go through. So just because you said something doesn't mean they got it. Also, there's distractions. There's mind wanderings. There's the thought made us think of something else. And how about studies show that at best, as far as people learning when someone's speaking or when somebody's speaking, hearing tests have shown that at best, people hear 40% of what you're saying. So when you wives think your husbands aren't listening, they may be listening, but maybe they're not hearing. Or on the way here, I love my wife. She's precious to me. She's my second best friend. And on the way here, well, she's the best friend I can see. But on the way here, she was talking. And I was listening. And all of a sudden, I was out here somewhere thinking about the meeting or people coming in or something. And then all of a sudden, I'm hearing my wife. And I went, ooh, I'm not doing good at listening. And it's not because she's boring. It's not because I don't love her. It's not because I don't care. But I'm just natural like you and everyone else. We zone out. She said something made me think of something. Or I've got enough stuff on my plate and she's talking and I'm trying to listen, but I can't help it. My mind is trying to deal with these things. Are you with me? So, three levels of learning. There's head learning, where you speak to somebody. Then there's heart belief. Now, let's say, for example, Brother Bill is speaking and you like Brother Bill. Okay? And so Brother Bill's speaking and you're hearing what he's saying, and then you think about the thought and you go, I like that thought. I'm going to embrace that thought. I like Bill. I like what he said. I agree with that. I'll replace what I was already believing and I will embrace that thought. Now, that is heart belief. You see, you've heard it. Maybe. You've heard it. You've considered it. You've weighed it out. You've decided to embrace it. That doesn't mean somebody really owns it yet. Because what it takes is the Holy Spirit to come along and quicken that. Is that in the Bible? I am glad you asked. We're going to look at... Where are we, Lord? I'm not there yet. Oh, Galatians 1, verses 11 and 12. You want to turn there? Galatians 1, 11 and 12. But I certify you, brethren. I assure you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Luke 2:26. Luke 2:26. I'm glad you're writing the verses down, but I hope you look them up because faith comes by hearing the Word of God. Luke 2:26. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. It's revealed. John 6:45. We're going to do a few verses in John. So we'll start in 6:45. Are you there? John 6:45. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me, Jesus said. Every man that hath heard and he got it from the Father, hath learned of the Father, he comes unto Jesus. John 14:26. John 14:26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Have you ever lost your keys? Well, the Holy Spirit is the holy reminderer. According to that verse, I've done this with customers. I can't find my keys. I've lost my keys. I said, do you want to find your keys? Did you see them? I said, do you want to find your keys? Yeah. So I put my hand out. Do you know what it means when I put my hand out? They're a goner. That's right. They're a goner. I'm taking them to Jesus. So I put my hand out and I say, dear Holy Spirit, I know you're not up in heaven pacing around wondering where his keys are. So I'm asking, as we be still, that you would just reveal to them where their keys are. Open their eyes. Boom. They know where their keys are. I wonder if that proves the reality of God. Do you understand what I'm saying? How real is your God? The Holy Spirit reveals that. John chapter 15, verse 15. Are you there? You were in 14:26. Just turn over a couple of verses. John 15:15. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. How about John 16:13? What? What? I know you want to come to the front. Okay. What, buddy? What? I got him. What? What? So John 16:13. Howbeit when he... the Spirit of truth is come. He will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. 1 John chapter 2, verse 27. Do we want to go there? Yes. 1 John 2:27. Oh, was that just a... whew, okay. Thought he was going to leak. 1 John 2:27. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie,